Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
I'm so glad to be here today. I'm honored to be here. Like Sam said, I had some little bit of pain this morning, but man, I want to thank God for my grandma, Vicky. She encouraged me. She called me at about 5 o'clock, and I was already starting to move around a little bit, noticing I was feeling a little bit better, but I was still unsure. And she said she didn't send a good vibe, because unless if you're in the presence of somebody, no matter how good your vibe or attitude is, it doesn't affect anybody if you're not around them. But no, she made a conscious effort to call me and to pray on speakerphone, and she prayed over me. And I want to thank somebody who's not afraid to get into the throne room of God and request things and begin to pray, because hey, God moved. God moved. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight I want to talk about faith, faith that moves. I'm going to start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Just because I got a little bit of pain don't mean y'all have to. The only time conscious thing I try to be about is making sure y'all don't have to stand too long, because we stand all the time through the worship, and we should. We should give God our all in worship, but I have a little bit of grace. I feel like y'all can sit down. I shouldn't have to read 20 verses and then let y'all sit down. So I try to pick a good short verse that goes with my sermon to have a little bit of grace for y'all. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I just want to thank you for today, Lord. I want to thank you for your many blessings, Lord. I'm not deserving of all of them, God, but your grace and mercy is abundant, Lord. God, I could never earn it, Lord, but yet you chose me anyway, Lord, and you showered me with your love, Lord. I want to thank you for this privilege and this honor that I get to speak to your congregation, God. I just ask you to let me step out of the way, Lord, and let your word be spoken, Lord. In the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Yeah, my heart has been wanting me to. I've just been on a big faith kick lately. Faith is instrumental to our relationship with Christ, and the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. So faith's a pretty big deal. A preacher once said in one of his sermons that it's not faith until it hits your feet. That means until you start actually moving in faith, until you actually manifest what you're saying, it's not real faith. You see, God is worthy of so much more than just a lip service. Don't get me wrong, that is part of it. Godly sorrow is what makes you drawn. When you come, you realize the sinful nature you have, and you begin to believe in the finished work of Christ. You begin to believe that he truly did live for you with his in your mind, and he died for you, and that sin that had you bound your entire life no longer has you bound. And what clarifies that, what makes the picture big, that you're not just believing in some preposterous thing, is he got up after he died and he sent his spirit to clarify, hey, this is real. This is why I'm worth giving the life that you got up and seeking after a new life which has me in the center. Oh, man. But at times as we press on and we walk in our faith, it can be challenging. It can get tough. We can start looking around us at the society that we live in, how it's turned its back to God, and how bad things are happening to good people, how bad things still happen to people who are Christians. It's hard to wrap your mind around sometimes, but it rains on the just and the unjust. However, our faith has to be strong. If you do not have a daily relationship with Christ, your faith is going to waver and it's not real. No, we must be walking in it. We must not lean on what we see around us, but we must lean on what we believe. And that is the spirit that abides in us. If we can just get in touch and continue that relationship with it, man, we're going to be all right. I was on my way to work today. Today was a day of building faith. We didn't have a good start to the shift. we derailed going in, and that's kind of, they basically got like this little miniature train that runs on a little track, and we came off the track. And in a production industry, that's bad because we're one of the best producing sections, and that just put a 40-minute delay on what we need to do. So people was already starting to get panicked. We get there. I'm a mechanic in the mines. There's already one piece of equipment down. Another piece of equipment goes down. And I'm thinking, Lord, come on, let us get it. Let us get it. Because if we don't get our numbers, ultimately we need to stay back to get our numbers. That's just how the industry should be. It's how the industry is. And while I was running around, like Brother Sam told y'all, I started to get a little bit of pain in my left flank. And I'm not the most experienced kidney stone haver. I had my first one 2 months ago, and that was the worst experience I've ever had in my life. And I don't wish that on anybody ever in the history of humankind. But I knew what was going on. I felt it. So I got down, and I was started to pray. And I was like, Lord, the pain didn't let up. So I got a ride out of there, and I got home. I texted Dame. I was like, man, I don't think I'll be able to do it. I'll touch bases with you. 4 o'clock, or I think it was around 4:30. I was like, man, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. It still hurts. And then 5 o'clock, like I said, my grandma calls me, prays over me. As she's doing it, I'm walking on the phone, listening to her on speakerphone, and I'm like, man, it really don't hurt that as bad as it was. Man, God's in the details. He's in the small things. To y'all, that might not sound like much, just a 5-minute phone call from my grandma, but it meant the world to me. Man, faith is essential for us. We must be walking in faith. If you would, Daniel chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But here's what I like about this statement. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You see, just because they was threatened with death, just because they was threatened with a painful death, they did not waver on their faith. They had an experience with the O God of Israel. They had an experience with the Lord that had brought them through these things. And they were not going to waver on what the current world wanted them to waver to. No, they said, let us burn if that's what it needs to be. You see, Christ did not give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of liberty. There is no reason to walk around ashamed and afraid to tell the good news of Jesus Christ when in reality we have the ultimate good news. We have what the world so desperately needs and starves after. We have the good stuff. Oh man, we got to get more excited about the good stuff. Let me continue on. Verse 19. There was Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage and changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it wanted to be heated. So they made it 7 times hotter than it was supposed to be. And he commanded the most mighty men, so the best of his best that were in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Man, that sounds like a lot of work for 3 boys. Getting your best military men, putting the fire up 7 times hotter. I think the king was a little bit mad. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fire. Story doesn't end there, though. Let's continue. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king just slew his best men, his right-hand men. I'd imagine the best his army had that was currently holding Israel hostage and trying to push him, he just burned them with his own fire. Man, sometimes if you just walk with what God was trying to get you to walk in, the enemy self-destructs. He can't help but do it. Oh, man. Let's continue. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the fire and the burning fiery furnace. See, they were still tied up when they threw them in there. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose up in haste. I think we would all rise up in haste if we seen what he was about to see. And he spoke to his counselors. He was wanting to clarify if his eyes was betraying him or not. Did we not cast three bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered unto the king, yeah, we did. You're not seeing a lie. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking around loosely. You see, when the fire gets hot, when the trial and tribulation put you down on your knees and you don't feel like you can continue no more, I'm here today to tell you, God's got you right where he wants you, because the same thing they were scared of burning them was what was about to set them free. The fire set them free. It burned the bonds on, and lo and behold, they weren't in it alone. No, the fourth man in the fire, as the next verse would allow us to see, was like an image to the Son of God. It was Jesus there with him. You see, if Jesus is for you, you don't have to worry about him forsaking you, because he said, for those the Father have placed in my hand, I ain't lost none. He will be with you even when it starts to heating up, even when you start sweating, even when the trial gets too tough for you to understand. He is not going to forsake you. Oh man, that's what it looks like to walk in faith. We serve a God who is faithful to us, and we owe it to him to be faithful to him. Amen. Ultimately, at least for me, I wasn't born into a rich family. However, I was born into a very blessed family. I got everything I ever wanted for Christmas. My dad worked his life away. He made sure we got what we wanted, and I'm thankful for that. But when I was a baby, I was born with nothing, literally nothing gone. I was born with nothing. So I just can't help but get my mind over, because bad things do happen to good people. I couldn't imagine losing my wife to an illness or her leaving me for another man. Lord, I hope that part don't happen. I'm pretty sure it won't. But I couldn't imagine losing one of my kids. However, when God first called me out of sin and into his glorious light, it changed me forever. It is the one thing the enemy will never be able to take away from me. You see, I may have came into this world with nothing, but even if the enemy somehow tried to strip my family away from me, if he took all my accolades away, if he took my finances away, if he took my family away, I can still count it all, because I am a child of God. My ticket has been punched. I no longer have to be concerned with what this world can take from me. Death, oh, where is thy sting? Oh man, God is good. You see, when you start walking in faith, you start really realizing how great and powerful and awesome our God is. He really is the lily in the valley. He really is the rose in Sharon. He really is the author and finisher of your faith. You see, our God is not going to start a work. He's not going to start a work in you and finish a good work. He's going to finish a work. Man, I love how that scripture words it. It says he gave us the earnest of your spirit. If you study your scripture out, you know earnest is a banking term. That means it's an investment. And I'm here to tell you, if the Holy Ghost abides in you, there's no bad investment made. Our God knows exactly what he's doing, and you can walk in that, because I promise you, oh, God's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. Oh, we're all members of the body. What does it mean to walk in faith? The best way I could describe it, the scripture would tell you, if you're wondering what faith is, it says faith is the evidence of things hoped for but not yet seen. For through it the elders obtained a good report. Oh, but I'm telling you, through the faith that we have in the finished work of Christ, we can do much more than obtain a good report. You see, Jesus was to tell us that we can do greater works than he done. You see, we have the power. We have the goods. There is no reason for us to be shackled in fear and just tormented by the enemy, by the devil. Oh man, our God is good. Our God is a lion, man. He was a lamb, but he's coming back as a lion. I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about our faith. My next passage of scriptures, I'm going to talk. Some of y'all might be familiar with this. It's Matthew chapter 14. It's the walking on the water bit. It's not a bit, it happened, that was reality. Chapter 14, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I can't tell you the science behind that. I don't know if the atoms in Jesus' feet changed, or if the atoms in the water, if there was three hydrogen and two oxygen. I don't know. But I know Jesus was walking on the water. Something that had never been done ever had just took place. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were scared, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. I mean, it was dark. Fourth watch of the night. You see something walking on the water. I feel like that's pretty human nature to be like, what in the world is going on? So often we're a little bit too harsh on the disciples, because that would have freaked me out. I'd have thought I was dreaming. I'm not going to lie to you. But straight away, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Man, we serve an awesome God who, when we do get afraid of what's going on, when we do get a little bit fearful, he can say to us, "Be of good cheer. Be not afraid." If Christ is for you, like I said before, the spirit of fear has no belonging in your life. You do not have to be afraid. Or you do not have to be worried. You don't have to be scared of anything, because I have never seen his righteous forsaken or begging for bread. I'm telling you right now, if God adopted you into his family, he will provide for you. We serve a God who is a providing God. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." See, I like Peter, man. I can get with that guy. He saw something cool and he's like, "Man, that looks awesome. Lord, let me get on that water. I want to walk on it too." Because after all, if we're supposed to do greater works than Christ done while we're on earth, if we're supposed to advance the kingdom, then shouldn't we have access to stuff like this? I think so. Anyway, he started walking on the water, and Peter answered, in verse 29, and he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. It don't stop there, though. Verse 30, but when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." It would be so easy to condemn Peter because he began to sink. But I want to applaud Peter, because first off, he had enough faith that God could let him walk on the water, and he did. But that's not what I want to applaud. I want to applaud that when he did begin to sink, when his ankles started going below the water and his knees started going below the water. Now, he may have lost sight with Christ for a second, but he very fastly got his attention back on Christ. You see, he cried out and said, "Lord." He didn't say, "Save me." He said, "Lord." That means he knew exactly where his safety was coming from. He knew who his Savior was. He said, "Lord, save me." That is what faith looks like in the midst of a storm. That is what faith looks like in the midst of a trial. Man, the wind was hitting him. I imagine the waves were going crazy. The other disciples were probably starting to get a little bit scared for Peter. But he said, "Lord, save me." I'm here today to tell you, we have a God that will reach out and pull you back up. Whether you're sinking or whether you're burning, whether it's anxiety or whether it's depression, whether you've not been serious about your walk here lately, I urge you today, church, to say, "Lord, save me," because he is a God who is just in that business. He's not the savior of the world because he's not in the saving business. Oh man, we don't lean on him enough, church. We don't really fully understand the access he gave us. Oh man. Man, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched of our infirmities. That means he was tempted in every way, every single thing, every bad thought, everything that you've had in your life, Christ had been tempted with it. Not only was he tempted with it, he allowed it to become him on the cross, and he crucified it. You no longer have to walk in that bondage. You have been set free. You are a child of God, and there is a purpose for you, church. Oh, man, it's time for us to start walking. It's time for us to start strutting. Yes, a couple Sundays ago, I think my dad was the one who got him to do it, but I never thought I would see it in a pulpit setting, but Damon done the Conor McGregor walk. It's time for us to start strutting a little bit. I'm not saying don't be meek. I'm saying you really do got the good news that the world needs. You really are the salt of the earth. You really are the light of the world. It is up to you to spread the gospel. Don't get me wrong. God's going to always have his man. Oh, but he's incorporated you to be, he incorporated you for a reason. He wants you to answer the call. Oh, man, if we're ever going to pray like Jesus prayed, we got to start walking in faith. Oh, man, if heaven is going to come down and if earth is going to become heaven and we're going to manifest that, it's going to take men and women who have made up their mind that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, and beside him there is no other, and I am pressing on. No matter how hot the fire gets, no matter how bad it starts to burn, no matter what it starts to do to me, no matter if I start sinking, no matter if I start feel like I'm about to drown, I am pressing on because there is a mark to be reached. There is a race to be run. Oh, church, are you with me? Let's run this race. God is worthy. Yes. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. Musicians, you can go ahead and come. I'm out of notes. If we are to walk by faith and not by sight, that means we're not going to know everything. That means we're not going to fully understand everything. But I do understand one thing. Christ is coming back after a church that has made herself ready, which means we are not called to have idle hands or be pew warmers. We are called for a purpose. Oh, church, I want to encourage you to get after it. Let's embrace the grind because, man, there is a grind to be had. Oh, man, I just think, there are so many lost souls in just our area. Let's turn off the national and global news and just start worrying about our area, because we can be effective in our area. We can be an outreach to people who desperately need Christ. I'm going to share this story with you, and then I'm going to turn it back over to the musicians. I work with a young man. Just had a baby. He got married. I'm not going to share his name. I don't know if that'd be appropriate or not, but we were talking about church, and he said, man, I think I should start getting a little bit serious about church. And I don't know what took, I know what took over me, but, man, I just got a little bit bold. And what hurt this young man is if he didn't like what I had to say, we had just got on the man trip to leave, so he had to listen to me for an hour regardless of what he liked or not. And, man, I started feeling the Spirit to move, and I began to told him, I said, don't worry about the church thing. Yes, I'd love for you to come to church. I said, but you really need to start a relationship with Jesus. I said, do you know Jesus? What do you know about him? And we began to share a couple things, and he told me what he thought of him, and he told me that he thought, you know, he did die for his sins. And I said, well, what are you waiting for? If you really do think he died for your sins, if you think the God of this universe loved you enough that he marked himself in flesh and took your sin, what are you waiting on? It deserves a response. It deserves an action. It deserves for us to walk in. It deserves for us not to be led by sight, but to walk in faith. Oh, man, and I could see it starting to take over. So I just started telling him why I was a Jesus man. I said, man, 2,000 years ago, I don't know if you know this or not, but the way we divide our time, it was before Christ, and however long ago that was, I think it was 4,000 years, and then it was after Christ. If they acknowledge him so much that they divide time from when he was at, then he must be an important historical figure. Matter of fact, I think the courts tell us all you need is one eyewitness to convict somebody. Yet Christ had 500 eyewitnesses that seen him walking around after his resurrection. I'm here today to tell you, the world may say he ain't Lord, but when the reality is, Jesus is Lord, and he is, he is Lord, and he wants you to come with him. He wants you to seek after him. It starts with the first step. It starts with one step. If you've not started your journey and you got a feeling in your chest and it feels like you're being torn apart, I urge you, I beg you, come pray. I beseech you, man, it's the best thing you can ever do is embark in a relationship with Christ. Oh, man. But if you feel like you've lost touch and the fire started to get a little too hot, or if the water's starting to get a little too deep, we'll pray with you too. Because, man, all you have to do is cry out, Lord, save me. And he's right there. He's not leaving you, church. He wants to see you through.